Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 6. Itakashasito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tita sarvani bhutani mastanitya padarya. Ita, just as akasha sita, situated in the sky, nityam, always, vayu, the wind, sarvatraga, blowing everywhere, mahan, great, tata, similarly, sarvani bhutani, all created beings, matstani, situated in me, iti, thus, upadarya, try to understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. Purport, for the ordinary person, it is almost inconceivable how the huge material creation is resting in him. The Lord. For an ordinary person, it's almost inconceivable how the huge material creation is resting in him. But the Lord is giving an example which may help us to understand. The sky may be the biggest manifestation we can conceive. And in that sky, the wind or the air is the biggest manifestation in the cosmic world. The movement of the air influences the movement of everything. But although the wind is great, it is still situated within the sky. The wind is not beyond the sky. Similarly, all the wonderful cosmic manifestations are existing by the supreme will of God, and all of them are subordinate to that supreme will. As we generally say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, everything is moving under His will. By His will, everything is being created, everything is being maintained, and everything is being annihilated. Still, He is aloof from everything, as the sky is always aloof from the activities of the wind. In the Upanishads, it is stated, Yad Bisha Vata Pavite. It is out of fear of the Supreme Lord that the wind is blowing. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8.1. In the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.8.9 is stated, Etasava Aksharasya Rasya Prashasane Gargi Surya Chandramaso Vidritao Tishtata Etasyava Aksharasya Prasasane Gargi Dva Va Prithivyo Vidrito Tishtataha. By the supreme order of under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the moon, the sun, and the other great planets are moving. And the Brahma Samhita is also stated, Yet Chakshaesha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Surya Murtira Shesha Teja Yas Yagaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakro Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhujami. This is a description of the movements of the sun. It is said the sun is considered to be one of the eyes of the Supreme Lord and that it has immense potency to diffuse heat and light. Still is moving in a prescribed orbit by the order and supreme will of Govinda. So from the Vedic literature we can find evidence that this material manifestation, which appears to us to be very wonderful and great, is under the complete control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This will be further explained in the later verses of this chapter. Itakasha sito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tupadarya. As the mighty wind, understand that the mighty wind blowing everywhere rest always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste, Sarasvatim Deve, Gauravani Vacharne, Nirvishesha, Shunivadi, Paskatyade, Siddharne. First, Krishna said his pervading the universe is inconceivable. How he can pervade the universe, be everywhere, but not be there. If you can understand what is the sound of one hand clapping, then you can understand this very easily. Just try to hear the sound of one hand clapping. No. The point is that Krishna is everywhere, but he's not a part of the material creation, as we would be. Imagine if you were everywhere. Well, first of all, we'd get a little confused because we don't have the brain power. We hardly have the brain power to be here, one person. Imagine if you're everywhere, how confusing it would be. At least you wouldn't lose your keys because you'd be there, wherever the keys. But as far as watching everything, we get completely bewildered. Now, Krishna can watch everything, and he's not bewildered. Not only that, but he doesn't feel like he has to interfere. Just imagine, you know, you were everywhere, and you saw a little kitten about to get run over by a car. We go, wait, stop! Hopefully you do it. You wouldn't throw the kitten under the car. But everyone, if we were there watching everything, we'd get very much attached. Isn't that right? First of all, there's things we probably shouldn't see. And there's the other things, things that we wouldn't want to see. And then there's things that we try to change, and we'd get very frustrated if we couldn't change them. So we'd be very much bewildered by the whole situation. But Krishna can be everywhere watching everything, and he doesn't become disturbed by anything. He doesn't become attached or averse to anything. Well, first of all, for Krishna, from his point of view, nothing really is happening to the soul. Now, we're believing we are these bodies, and that when something happens to the body, it's happening to us. And therefore, we get all disturbed, or to others. But when we realize nothing's happening to anyone, except experience. Of course, we're getting experience, but all these experiences are temporary. We've had so many experiences in the material world, so-called favorable and so-called unfavorable, but they're all just illusions keeping us from our real existence. So they're all unfavorable. Compared to reality, what we're actually supposed to be experiencing, we're all suffering. It doesn't matter who we are. But of course, we think our suffering is better than other people's suffering. So we're pretty proud of how nicely we're suffering. We're not suffering. We're suffering in a civilized country. Or it used to be civilized. I don't know. And we're free. We're free to do whatever they tell us. And we have great food, if you can call it food. After adding all the chemicals and fertilizers, pesticides, insecticides, and people-sides, all whatever they added to it. So we're imagining that we're doing great. That I'm young, I have at least another 50 years to go. Which is Brahma's lifetime. Around in one second of Brahma's life, we go through 1,000 births and deaths. So what is 50 years of that? So when 2,000th of a second, we're finished. And we think we have a long time to go. No worries, I'm young. I'll be here practically forever. I might even outlast Brahma for all I know. Therefore, we're very much involved in what's going on in the material world, and therefore it's inconceivable how one can be aloof from everything that's going on. Although, actually, we're all aloof from what's going on, but we're caught up in everything. Now we're caught up in this lifetime, and when we leave this body, we'll have another lifetime. We'll be caught up in that one equally. It's not we take the body of a cat and think, I mean, I'm not going to take this life seriously. I'm just a cat. This is ridiculous. I was a king before. How did I become a cat? Something wrong. Is there some compartment, someone I can call up and complain? This is injustice. I'm not going to eat my, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat my cat food because of this injustice. No, you become a cat. That's your experience for some time. The soul, which is previously was a king or an emperor of a whole vast realms, has now become a cat, is limited to looking for a mouse waiting there, praying, when are you going to come out? I'm hungry. It's time to eat. Get out of there, you rat. He's reduced to that. But that's his realm of experience. That's his field of activities. And what to speak of, you become an ant or an insect, or another kind of insect, a germ, Indragopa germ. But that's the realm of experience. And we're completely caught up in every realm, whether we're a demigod or human being or any of the... And Krishna is everywhere, in every body, in every heart, and he's completely aloof. Because he wants the soul to wake up, and that's why he's accompanying the soul in these 8,400,000 species of life, to encourage them, trying to wait for the opportunity that the soul will take advantage of the association that Krishna is giving through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and maybe look within to try to find out what the super soul wants him to do. Until then, Krishna just patiently, since time immemorial, accompanying the soul, arranging all these different activities for the soul, for his experience, and hoping that one day, by these experiences, the soul may become attracted, as when he comes to the human form of life, to taking up the process of devotional service. Then Krishna becomes, instead of just a watcher, he becomes an active participant. But he's still watching, of course. Because otherwise, Krishna is eternally watching everywhere, even in the spiritual world. But not that he becomes bewildered by the whole thing. He always remains the same loving personality, whatever is happening. And he's watching, not, you know, I did something wrong. You rascal, into the burning fire. Anyone else want to do something wrong? Want to challenge me? All right, bang. Oh, ah! The Krishna is everywhere watching out of love, trying to make people happy. That's his only desire. He's not envious of anyone. Now, if we were in that same position, I don't know if we could claim the same. All right, now I'm in charge. You know, you didn't like me, I remember what you did. Love me, you rascal. You don't? All right. Well, Krishna is not like that at all. Or else we would all be perpetually in the burning fire. Matter of fact, most of the philosophies that come about, most of the conceptions of religion are just imposing our own attitude upon God. If I was in the position of God, what would I do? So practically the whole thing is all the imagination, all these superheroes, the genie in the lamp, whatever, all these things are just all just imaginations of the conditioned soul expanding himself into a realm of possibility that he's not presently at, and projecting the same mundane consciousness into that realm. Same way he'd do things if he was a Superman, or if he was a god, or if he was whatever. To think everything should be seen from my point of view. How would I feel? How would I act? What I think, etc. So we're actually believing that the standard of reality is the mode of nature I'm currently situated under. We don't realize it's just some conditioning that we're under. And that's going to change. Hopefully for the better, or it could even change for the worse. If you made a snake God, it would be a very unpleasant experience for everyone else. If you made Brahma, Brahma is given the post because he's closer to Krishna than we are. Therefore, he's given more opportunity to control the universe because the universe is made for the benefit of everyone. So to get a better position, you have to become more interested in benefiting everyone. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So on this last point that you made, what about nowadays when people who are not, whose goal is not benefiting everyone, have more facility, more abilities to influence?
They are benefiting people. They're chastising. People need to be chastised because they're sinful, envious, whatever, and therefore Krishna has given the people the opportunity to do service like that. In the next lifetime, because they're sinful themselves, they'll become a germ. They'll get their reaction too. But for right now, they're being an instrument to serve other people's karma. Therefore, when Sanatana Goswami saw the Nawab, came to visit him, hearing that Sanatana Goswami was sick, to find out what was wrong with him. And Sanatana Goswami was reading the Bhagavatam with the Brahmins. The Nawab wasn't very happy about that. But Sanatana Goswami gave him all respect because he was the king, because he was acting as an instrument for Krishna. Although he wasn't a very good king from the point of view of the Vedic culture, but he was the king, therefore he was a representative of Krishna. Maybe, and whatever he was going to do, even chastising people, but he's just acting as an instrument. Nothing is going on without Krishna's desire. That doesn't mean we don't understand that some things are what Krishna wants and some things what Krishna arranges. Krishna may arrange to fulfill people's karma. He wants that, but he'd rather that they weren't in the material world to receive the karma in the first place. But while they're here, he'll make arrangements so that hopefully they'll learn the lesson that material nature is not their home eventually. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.